I want to read a scripture out of Luke chapter 5. And I'm just reading the scripture so that you get the context of what we're looking at. Because I'm not going to talk about the whole thing. There is a lot to talk about in this particular passage. But I'm just going to talk about verse 10. And so when we get there, you're going to go, what in the world are you going to talk about? So here we go. It says, so it was, verse 1, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of the Lord, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one boat, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and he taught the multitudes from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. But Simon answered and said, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. When they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners from the boat, or in the other boat, to come and to help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down on at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for the opportunity to look at these scriptures, Lord God. And I pray, Father, that as we do, Lord, that you will open our hearts and our minds, Lord God. Father, I pray that you would heal and restore hearts. Lord, I pray that you would work in each and every one of us, Lord God, as we look at the scriptures today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. How many of you know who Zebedee is? Zebedee. How many have heard a sermon on Zebedee? All right. Not many of us have heard much about Zebedee. But Zebedee was an interesting man. He was the father of James and John. Now, I have watched people for years, and in watching people, I've realized that if you want to know what dad and mom are like, watch their kids. Because their kids, a lot of times, are going to reflect mom and dad. Now, I realize that that's not necessarily the case in every situation. But in the normal situation, you can watch the children and see dad and mom. Okay? Now, I realize that as we come to Christ, we have a new father. And some of you are sitting there thinking, I don't claim those kids. The way they act, I don't. The other thing is as we're going to look this morning in Proverbs, it's one thing to teach your kids, but it's another thing for your kids to receive. All right? So, parents, we can't take all the blame. As much as you might want to, you cannot take all the blame because you may have taught the right thing, but they may not have received it. Okay? All right, well, before we get into all of that, I want to go back to James and John and Zebedee. Now, if you're interested, James and John had a mother. Surprise, surprise, right? How many know what her name was? See, you've been studying this, haven't you? Her name, traditionally, was Salome. Now, if you go to the end of the story, when Jesus was on the cross, there were some women at the cross. And Salome was one of them. And in fact, In one of the other scriptures I was studying, it says that she was the husband of Zebedee. Or the wife, excuse me. Thank you. So that means that she was the mother. I'm assuming this, okay. It doesn't say that she was the mother, but the husband or the wife. Whew, did it again. So I'm assuming that that's where that connection is. All right, so she's at the foot of the cross too. All right, so let's look at James and John and see, paint a picture for Zebedee. All right, because when Lisa and I first started ministry, we started in children's church and we started teaching with puppets and all that kind of stuff, and we could watch those kids and they acted just like mom and dad. If there was one that was loud, you could bank on it, mom or dad was the same way. If one was needing all the attention, mom and dad were probably the same way. You could watch them and see the characteristics follow through the family. Now, I want to just read a few things. Now, I'm sure there's probably more than this, but about the sons, because it doesn't tell us a whole lot about Zebedee, and it doesn't tell us a whole lot about Salome. So I'm going to look at the kids and see if we can paint a picture for mom and dad. And James and John were obviously two of the disciples. James and John were two of the three inner circle of Jesus's. When Jesus went up on the Mount of Transfiguration, he took three disciples, Peter, James, and John. When he went to raise the little girl from the dead in the upper room, he took three disciples, Peter, James, and John. James and John were right there in the middle of all this. Now, John was also the one that was known to be the disciple that Jesus loved. Wouldn't you like to have that title? Wouldn't you like to have that title, Jesus Loved Me? And then John was also the one who was leaning on Jesus' chest at the Last Supper when he announced that somebody, one of the 12, was going to betray him. John leaned back and said, "Is it I? Who is it? Which one?" He was right there in that position to be able to do that because he was close to Jesus. Another thought or another fact is that John did not abandon Jesus in the garden. You know, it says that they all scattered. Well, John didn't. John chapter 18, verse 15 and 17 through 17, it talks about John, Peter and John following Jesus to the high priest. John knew the high priest, so John went into the courtyard. And then later, Peter stayed out because he didn't know the high priest. So, but then later, John came out and got Peter and they all went in. And then Peter denied Jesus. That was all in there. But John was the entrance into all of that. So John did not deny and flee and run when they came to get Jesus. John was the only disciple recorded. Now, that recorded is important because the scripture doesn't say that there weren't any other disciples. It just records John being at the foot of the cross. Jesus looks down, sees John and sees his mother, Mary, and says, "John, this is now your mother. Mary, this is now your son." Can you imagine that? What kind of kid was this that just took all of this in? His dad must have really been a good dad to teach him to do this. Just to receive what God has for you. Okay, James and John, their mother, is also the one who came to Jesus and said, "Can my sons sit next to you in heaven? One on the right hand and one on the other, the left?" This is James and John. John outran Peter going to the tomb, yet he didn't go in the tomb first, but he could have. But he didn't. He stepped back and let Peter go in first. John was the first one to recognize Jesus after the resurrection when they were out fishing in the boat. Remember, they were out fishing. They took off after the resurrection, and they said, well, I'm going to go fishing. And so they all decided to go fishing. Peter's out there fishing in the boat. Jesus is standing on the shore, and John says, that's Jesus. He recognized Jesus. He's the first one to recognize Jesus. James and John are also known as the sons of thunder over in Mark chapter 3, verse 17. James is also known as the first of the disciples to become the first martyr, Acts chapter 12. Later, they did try to kill and martyr John, but tradition says that they couldn't do it because they tried boiling him in oil and were unsuccessful. So they put him on an island so he wouldn't infect anybody with the gospel. And God gave him the book of Revelation. So James and John were quite the pair. And I imagine as they were growing up in Zebedee's home, yes, there were probably times that he had to correct them. Yes, there were probably times that he was wondering, am I doing any good? Am I really making any headway here? But you know, as parents, you know, sometimes we think we're not doing anything right. But you know what? They are getting something. Because years later, they will call, maybe from some distance, and say, thank you. Thank you for making us toe the line. Thank you for dragging us to church. My brother used to say he had a drug problem because his mom and dad, my mom and dad, drug him to church every Sunday. So, you know, I think sometimes as parents we want to put the blame on us. You know, but you know what? We're doing the best we know how. That's all Zebedee was doing the best he knew how to do. But as kids begin to make good choices, as they were growing up, and so when Jesus called them and said, come follow me, they were willing to leave the business, the boats, the nets, the company, the finances, their family, and follow Jesus. Because they had been taught to do that. Interesting thing, Zebedee in the Hebrew means to the gift. So Zebedee trained his children to be a gift to God. He was the gift. They were the gift he gave. And let Jesus said, no, here, you go. He didn't come back and he said, no, you can't go follow that preacher. You need to work. I'm going to pass this business on to you. This is all yours. It never goes back and says anything about Zebedee complaining or Zebedee trying to convince the boys to come back. He just let him go and follow Jesus. I want to read a few scriptures out of Proverbs because God does give us some information about raising our children and being good parents. All right? So it's interesting, Proverbs 1 through 6, almost each one of them start out with, this is what a good father does. These are my words. Listen to my words. So I'm going to read Proverbs chapter 1, verses 8 through 10 says, my son, Hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother. For they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck. Now, I'm reading these out of the New King James. What do you have up there, Elise? New King James? All right. And then verse 10 says, my son, if sinners entice you, how many have ever been enticed by a sinner? What did your parents tell you to do? Say no. Just because they jump off a bridge doesn't mean you have to jump off, right? One of those kind of things. If a sinner entices you, do not consent. It's not going to be good. Chapter 2, verse 1 says, my son, if you receive my words. Now, see, here's the thing. Is you, as a parent, may have done everything you knew to do. You may have had them in Sunday school. You may have had them in vacation Bible school. You may have had them in church every time the doors were open. But it's not necessarily just your part. That's what you have to do. But see, in verse 1, it says of chapter 2, my son, receive my words. The kids have to receive it. They have to accept it. They have to take it and know, okay, this is a good word. This is wisdom. Don't jump. Okay? This is wisdom. Don't do that. All right, so it's one thing as parents to tell them, but it's another thing for them to receive it. Because sometimes, and you probably have experienced this, they don't want to receive it. They want to do their own thing. And it's not because you didn't tell them. It's not because you didn't tell them, that's not a good thing, don't do that. It's because they want to do it. They just flat out think, why not? It's my life. I'll mess it up if I want to. You know, some people are that way. Some kids are that way. So they have to receive the words that are spoken and treasure them and treasure my commands within you so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Now, did you read that verse with me? Verse 4. If you seek her as silver, okay? As you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasure. Treasure. You know, we think it's a good thing, and it is a good thing to teach your kids how to work hard. It is a good thing to teach them to be dependable and to be trustworthy and to do all these things to be good employees. But as much as we spend time teaching them to do that, do we teach them to study the Word? Okay? See, we're to search for the wisdom of God as much as we do silver and gold. So we need to search for that. Yes, we can teach our kids as much as we know. That's why I said, you may have brought your kids, done everything you knew to do, and yet they didn't treasure the commands. They didn't incline their ear to wisdom. How many had kids that thought they knew more than you? Anybody? Okay. It just happens sometimes. Okay? So we need to understand this, that they have their part to play too. Proverbs 3, verse 1 and 2. My son, do not forget my law. Do not forget my law. But let your heart be kept by my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Did you read that with me? Did you see that? What it just said? It said, But let your heart keep my commands, for length of days and long life and peace will be added to you. You see, a lot of times we just think, well, everybody completes the days that they've been given. We've got only so many days, and that's all we're going to ever have. Well, the scripture tells us we can add to those days. We can add to those days. In fact, if you want to go back to Exodus chapter 20, we don't have to jump there. I'll read it to you. Exodus 20, verse 12, Deuteronomy 5, verse 16, and Ephesians 6, 1 through 3. They all say this: honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. God is going to add to you when you honor your father and mother. God is going to add to you when you honor him and obey his commandments. God is going to add days to your life. Now, we've been told in the world that, nope, you only get so many days, that's it. When that time's up, boom, you're gone. Doesn't matter what you're doing, where you are. No, that's not scripture. That's, what do you want to call that? That's tradition, the world's tradition. My God, in his word, says that's not true. I can add to my days long life. You can go through that. That's a good study to go through if you want to. You go through Psalms 91 at the very end. He says he will add length of days. I mean, God wants us to live long. Not just so you can grow old and complain about your aches and pains. He wants you to live long to give glory to him. He wants you to live long so you can thank God and people can hear you give him praise. It's not just so you can live a long time and say, hey, I lived 90 years or I lived 100 years. That's not the point. The point is so that you can give glory to God. So honor your father and mother. Give them the value they deserve. Give them the value that God wants them to have. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 1 says, hear my children and listen, or hear my children, the instruction of a father. And give attention to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine or good teaching. Do not forsake my law. You know, now this, yes, it's telling the kids to listen to the father. But it also is saying, Dad, you better be teaching the right thing. Don't just go teaching them whatever you want to teach them. And say, well, that's the way my dad did it. No, go to the Word of God and find out what the Word says. Remember, we did not have the perfect fathers. I don't think anybody in here did. You had great fathers and good fathers, but they are not perfect. But you know what? Now that we've been adopted into a new family, we have the perfect Father, Father God. And so we need to learn from our Father God how to live life, how to teach our children, how to pass this along to the next generation. So, give attention to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine or teaching. Do not forsake my laws. Proverbs 5, verse 1 says, my son, pay attention to my wisdom. Lend your ear to my understanding, that you may preserve discretion and your lips may keep knowledge. You see, it's not just all on Dad. And it's not just all on the children. We come together and we make it work. And God wants to teach us how to be good fathers. Now, most of us, as I look around here, their kids are all gone. Well, not gone, but They've moved away, and now we're raising, not raising, but speaking into grandchildren. Do you realize you can learn more as a grandpa and speak into your grandchildren's life? It doesn't end when your kids grow up and leave home. That's not the end of your opportunity to speak into people's lives. You have grandchildren coming on. You have neighbors' children. You have children's church. You have Sunday school. You have kids that you can interact with. But you need to speak wisdom, God's wisdom, into their life, which means that we need to get into the Word of God and speak and understand the Word of God. Now, some of you have made some mistakes. Some of you have watched their children go down the wrong road. How many disciples did Jesus have? 12? How many went on? And how many quit? One quit. Didn't make it. Now you would think Jesus, being the best teacher there ever was, could figure out how to convince Judas not to do what he did. But he didn't. So that the scriptures could be fulfilled. Jesus gave us a parable about a wide road and a narrow road. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. He said, "Broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many are those that will go that direction. But narrow is the gate." So, God understands that people are going to just make some bad choices. Well, I, for one, am not going to blame God on that. That would not be God's fault. God has done everything he needs to do to prove his love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Did God love you enough? Yes. In that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't even wait for us to get it together. He died for us in our sin. There's nothing that we can do to make Jesus or God love us more. There's nothing we can do to make him love us less. But I'll tell you what, there's a whole lot we can do to draw close to him and receive that love, receive that teaching, receive what he has for us. And so this morning, on Father's Day, I want to conclude and just encourage you. If you feel like the enemy has stolen something from you, Joel chapter 2, verse 25 says that he will restore what the enemy has taken from us, what the swarming locust has eaten, what the crawling locust, the consuming locust, and the chewing locust, and then I'm out of line. What is it, chewing locust? My great army which I sent among you. He is going to restore to you the years. God can restore what the enemy has tried to take away. You might think they're just lost. No. God says he can restore that. He can restore. And so as I close this morning, I want to pray for those that maybe you're in that situation now and you're wondering, I blew it. No, you did the best you could. You did the best you could with what you knew. All right? But now that we have a new Father, he can restore what the enemy has tried to destroy. He's tried to steal our children. He's tried to steal our families. He's tried to break them apart. But God can restore it. And so I want to pray for each and every one of us this morning that God will restore what the enemy has tried to destroy.